And we start our third hour today. Welcome back. I said it would be a great Friday. It is a great Friday. And still a big hour ahead. Live in Southern California, I am Jim Rome, broadcasting from the Quicken Loans Studios. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We've got Derwin James coming up in about 15 minutes. He'll be right here in studio. Former Florida State safety, NFL draft prospect, projected to go high in the first round. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. Meantime, this hour starts off with the open phones, 1-800-636-8686. We spoke to Ed Cooley, the head coach at Providence College, and we had a conversation with Devin Powell. You remember that name. I talked about him yesterday. There was a story that broke that he suffered a ruptured testicle. And I said, that's a phrase that I will never, ever be able to unhear. I've never known anybody to deal with something like that. We heard the nature of the injury. And then this legend continued to grow because he was on Twitter and Instagram making puns about it. I'm like, this guy literally took the worst thing ever and turned it into a positive. What an amazing attitude. So I did a whole rant on it. He tweeted at me yesterday and said, thanks for the shout out. If you want to talk about it, I'm available to do so. And I said, you know I do. So we had a conversation in hour number two, which was absolutely amazing, and he got into exactly what happened.
Here's the whole misconception, or this is really what happened.
Sure.
So we were training. He has a no-gi Brazilian jiu-jitsu class, which jiu-jitsu is similar to like wrestling, similar to grappling, basically. So we were just grappling. We're competing with each other, just rolling with each other. He was trying to pass my guard, is what it's called.
Sure.
Trying to get past my feet to control my upper body. And as he tried to pop his leg up and cut it to the side, his knee went straight down and just sandwiched my testicle against my pubic bone, and it exploded it.
Yeah, that didn't sound any better the second time I heard that. In fact, that sounded worse, I think, the second time I heard that. It was an amazing conversation. He has a great, great attitude, great message, great outlook. That's something you're going to want to find if you didn't hear that. So in addition to that, we talked about the Mets earlier. In fact, I can't believe this, but I've got two takes on the Mets in one show. I didn't think I'd have two takes on the Mets in the first half of the year. Well, I probably would, but the wrong kind of takes. But here we are on February 16th, and we're only 47 days into 2018, and I'd have bet my house that any of you tools who went on record with a resolution don't even remember what that New Year's resolution was. Happens every year. You're fired up about the gym, your diet, the list of books that you're going to get to. And then 6 weeks into the campaign, you forget it all. You're crushing Ben and Jerry's on the couch. You're binging on Netflix. But guess what? Guess who is still all about that new year, new me lifestyle? That's right, Matt Harvey. You remember Matt Harvey, the one-time Mets phenom who posted three straight seasons with a sub-3 ERA before needing shoulder surgery in 2016 and has never been the same since. That Matt Harvey, the same Matt Harvey that went and found the bottom of a few bottles right around Cinco de Drinco last season and then thought best of skipping work the next day. That Matt Harvey, the same Matt Harvey that lied about why he went AWOL and later copped to the real reason and added that he teed it up for 18 while playing, while ditching work. That Matt Harvey, the artist formerly known as the Dark Knight. Well, he met with the media yesterday and he had a message. Message being, quote, I'm not going to answer any questions about last year. New year. People make mistakes. I'm looking forward to a new season, end quote. That's always frustrating to me in my position. Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm not looking back. I'm only looking forward. Guys do that all the time. You know, just own it. Be accountable for it. I mean, in a way, the strategy of, I'm not doing it, might get people to stop asking. But you know what's a better strategy? Just answering the question. Then you've answered it, and then they'll stop asking. But I can imagine where that guy might say, I'm not looking back. I'm looking forward. Hell yes, you are, Matt. I guess in your defense, I would be too also if I were coming off a season where I had an ERA of 11 in my last six appearances. Well, and let's not forget, it is a contract year. No wonder this guy wants to turn the page. Two seasons ago, he had himself primed for a look at Verlander or Scherzer money. Now he's lucky to even have a gig. And that's not just some knucklehead in front of a radio mic. Oh, with cool TV cameras that move around the studio, too. No, he said it himself. Harvey himself owned it, saying, quote, "Anytime your manager and your pitching coach are fighting to keep you on the team and you have a lot of confidence in you, it's definitely comforting." Yeah, it's comforting or it's disconcerting or foreshadowing because you know they've got this guy in a short leash. The Mets already launched Terry Collins, and they're trying to be more like the 2015 World Series version of yesteryear and not the 2017 version of last year. Not to be the punchline to every single joke in that sport. Hey, believe me, the last thing that these 25 slugs want to do is get on the wrong side of this Mets fan. Have you ever heard this kid?
Oh my God, we won 2 out of 3. Big deal. This team is an absolute f***ing joke. 23-8. Syndergaard, get out of here, you little Barbie doll. Get the f*** out of here. Go get a little robotic arm. Because you can't even stay 2 innings for this team without getting hurt. You f***ing idiot. It's all Ray Ramirez's fault, that f***ing mole face. Get him out of here. You got Kevin Plawecki getting absolutely rocked. I mean, you know it's bad when you can put the backup catcher in there. Like, damn, get the hell out of here and go to the minor leagues, boy. Terry, it's over for you, you little head. You little orange, you smoke as shit. You just need to get out of here. Because I'm not liking what I'm seeing from this team. 23-8, Terry. Better wake this team up.
The thing is, that kid was right about Terry. Terry's gone. I can think of the guys, the most profane people that I've heard in my life, the most profane people I've ever heard in my life, and I don't think that any of those adults have anything on that kid. That kid was good for an F-bomb every 5 seconds. But he knew his Mets baseball, didn't he? So, back to Matt Harvey. And by the way, don't get on the wrong side of that kid again. How does Harvey fit into all this? Well, either he shows out or he shoves off. And at less than $5.5 million, I'm sure they'd have no problem releasing him or trading him for parts in the summer. So what I'm saying is it's go time for Harvey. He's auditioning not just for the big jack, but for a right to stay in the industry and not to have to go get a real job someplace else. And that audition starts in April. I'm not rooting against this guy. I hope he figures it out. I hope that he can somehow get back to where he was. I'm not rooting against him. Let me be very clear about that. I'm not rooting against him. I'm just not betting on him. He's less than 2 years removed from shoulder surgery. He's less than a year removed from a scapula injury. And now he's coming off his worst season, statistically speaking. Throw in the alleged meltdown over Adriana Lima hanging out with Julian Edelman, which led to the bender, which led to skipping work, which led to a 3-game suspension. And you've got yourself a head case with a damaged wing. He might not want to talk about all that, but I've got no problem doing it myself. So go get him, Matt. Go get him. New year, new you. Unless it's not. Mets have got some work to do. I know that because I've had 2 Mets takes in one day. 2 Mets takes in one day in February. That's not easy to do. Still looking for a good telephone call. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to North Carolina. John in North Carolina. It's good to have you. John, how are you?
Good, good. How you doing?
Great. So what's on your mind, John? Talk to me.
I guess you heard my question. I used to teach English. I mean, I just listen to sports a lot. Why does every sports announcer have to use the word athletic to describe a ball player? if you can't play, I mean, if you can chew gum and walk, but if you go on the field and play, you're athletic, right?
All right, let me try and address that. All right, John, thank you very much. He said he's an English teacher, or used to be an English teacher. But why is it that every single announcer describes an athlete as athletic? Like, it's inherent, right? It's understood that if you're an athlete, you're athletic. And then something about if you can walk and chew gum, you're an athlete? I don't know. I'm going to try and answer that. I think the reason sometimes announcers say that an athlete is athletic would be to describe that they're actually more athletic. It's a given that they're athletic because they're professional athletes. Therefore, they're gifted. But sometimes when you hear an announcer say, damn, that guy's an athlete, it means above and beyond what his peers are, this guy's a freaky, freaky athlete. Or even you might hear somebody say, a professional athlete might say, you know what, I'm not that athletic. I mean, I think Devin Powell even said something along those lines. I'm not the best athlete. I'm not a great athlete. But what I am is somebody who shows up every single day and gets his work in and busts his ass. But I'm not a great athlete. I don't know, John, is that kind of the answer you're looking for? Not to go Larry Anderson on you, but why do you park in a driveway and drive in a parkway? Not to go Larry Anderson on you, but why is there an expiration date on sour cream? Not to go Larry Anderson on you, but dude, why were you traded for Jeff Bagwell? I guess that answers that question. Anyway, what's popping, Twitter? Hey, Hawk, keep it up, man. You're doing a good job. Way to screen that call out. Good screen job on that call. I don't know, my man. Why do they call it daylight savings? Like, whenever daylight savings starts, I go to the ATM and I've got the same amount of money in there. I'm not saving any money. I don't get it. I don't know. Hey, but you know what, though? There are no dumb questions. Just keep bringing them. Keep bringing them. I'm the answer man. I'm here to answer your questions. There are no dumb questions. There are no dumb questions, just dumb call screeners who did not graduate 13th grade three times. All right, I am now efforting Derwin James. He's supposed to join me in studio and, in fact, is. So we'll have that for you next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Moving right through a Friday. I mentioned we were having a good day. We are having an awesome day. All right, cell phone number is toll-free. It's good in the U.S. It's good in Canada. Lots to get done. But as promised, we are joined right here in studio by a former safety from Florida State. He was a first-team All-ACC-er, a freshman All-American, 84 tackles, 5.5 for a loss, 2 interceptions, 11 pass breakups, and he had a block kick. The NFL draft is coming up on April 26th through the 28th. It's in Arlington, Texas. I am joined in studio by Derwin James. Derwin, good to see you, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing today?
Doing great. Nice to see you here. You're getting ready for the draft, and I want to talk to you about that. But before I do so, I want to ask you about a tattoo that you have, and here's why I'm bringing this up. You've written about this, and it's of Florida State, but the importance is not necessarily what people may think it is. When did you get this, and what does that Florida State ink mean to you, and what did other people think when you got it at that time? So there's a lot to unpack there, but kind of give me the story of the tattoo.
Fortunately, I was offered a scholarship in ninth grade by Coach Fisher. Came up to Florida State, visited on a junior day. He gave me an offer on the spot. And I had committed to him, you know, like I committed freshman year. I told him I'd be coming to him in 4 years. He don't have anything to worry about. And growing up, I was always a Florida State fan. My stepdad was a big Florida State guy. And just watching the horse plant that spear in the ground, you know, it did something to him at an early age. And I just felt like getting a tattoo really of my favorite school, always where I wanted to go, and them being my first offer was just a symbol that I'd be really going there and something I always wanted as a kid.
Man, that's storybook stuff right there. So it tells me a couple of things, that this all went down in ninth grade. It tells me, number one, that you were that good that they could commit ninth grade. Yes. It tells me that even in ninth grade that you knew that's where you wanted to be. But the fact is, you knew long before that. Oh, yeah, I mean, it wasn't ninth grade. Yeah. Your earliest memory of Florida State was when you were about 5 years old and you were watching them on TV and you saw that spear being planted. So what do you remember about that as a five-year-old, and what kind of an impact did that have on you?
Just watching, you know, every child had a team growing up, and a lot of my friends were Florida Gator fans, Miami Hurricane fans, but I liked the Florida State. Like I said, that horse, it was something about the horse, man, just carrying the spear on fire, you know, it was, and just planting it right in the middle of the field. You know, it did something to me at an early age, and ever since then, I just started watching them, and fell in love with that program.
All right, so then one of your Little League games was in the summer before ninth grade, and Jimbo Fisher invites you to a junior day in Tallahassee. What do you remember about that junior day?
It was all upperclassmen there. You know, I was the only freshman, and the guys were a lot bigger than me, you know. Just coming in and going, meeting Coach Fisher and meeting the coaching staff. I had new Coach Odell. He was my local recruiter. He's from the area I was from, so I had a great relationship with him. And he called me. I remember Coach Fisher calling me into his office. And at first, I didn't really understand what he was telling me because I was so young, you know, 14, 15 years old. I didn't really understand what he was telling me. And then it took me leaving the room and going back to Coach Hagan's office and him telling me, oh, you know, Coach Fisher just gave you a scholarship. I was like, for real? I would have committed. So we left Coach Hagan's office and we went back down to Coach Fisher's office. That's when I told him, I was like, I want to play for you. And then ever since then, it's been all Florida State.
So, like, you were like literally, yeah, man, Coach is pretty cool. You didn't even know that he offered you a scholarship.
Yeah, I was so overwhelmed with, you know, just the whole thing. I could barely, you know, understand what he was trying to say. So it was like, Coach Hagan's really broke it down to me what he was saying. So it was cool.
That's a great story. Derwin James joining me in studio. So knowing all of that, I mean, this started at a very early age, and then you get there. What did it mean to you to put on that garnet and gold? I mean, that first time. What's it mean to you to be a part of the Florida State tradition?
Man, it means a lot. You know, a lot of people, you know, before my time sacrificed a lot for that program. And like I said, it's really a brotherhood there. It's not just what you see on TV. It's really, like, you just going there is just a thing of beauty. You know, you meet great people. You meet great coaches. And just the fan base there is just amazing. You know, just hearing that tomahawk every Saturday is just – that's an amazing feeling that you get.
Well, man, I could tell how much that program meant to you. I could tell how much you loved it there, playing football there, going to school there. But now you're looking at the next step in the tradition. Mm-hmm. And part of that tradition is becoming that next great Florida State DB in the NFL. Oh, yeah. And that means leaving school early. So knowing how much you love that school and your time there, what was that decision-making process like? And then how tough was it to say goodbye?
It was a tough process. I felt like, you know, just with me being injured my sophomore year, I just felt that, you know, I was leaving something on the table. But it was just, I felt like I came to work every day, and the people that I got to meet and the relationships I got to build was just priceless. And I feel like I put in enough work there with my teammates. And like I said, I had the opportunity in front of me was to take the next step. And, you know, that was always been my dream and goal since a little kid. So just with that being there, you know, I wanted to take advantage of it, and just talking to my family and talking to my coaches and my former teammates, being supportive through the whole thing, you know, it just made the decision that much easier for me.
And I know one of the guys you talk to a lot and you still talk to is Jalen Ramsey. I'm going to ask you about him in a minute. But so clearly it's your time and you feel like you're ready. You touched on the injury your sophomore year. Now, you had this amazing freshman year, and then you have an injury your sophomore year. And it's like at that point you learn, man, this thing can be ripped from you in a second. Yeah. What was it like to go through that your sophomore year?
Well, it was a tough process because before I had never been injured in my career. All the way thinking back to Pop Warner, it was just tough, you know, getting through it. At first, I didn't understand why, because, you know, like you said, I had a great freshman year. I was just really starting to get – the game was slowing down for me. I was just starting to really learn the playbook and really know what I was doing. So it was just like, with it being taken away like that, it was like, all right, what's next? Now start over. You got to start over, building those muscles back up and just getting the playbook more and really, you know, not losing focus on what's your big goal. You know, I had a lot of questions, a lot of doubts, but, you know, I had great trainers and great people around me to help me get through the process and made it that much easier for me.
Derwin James joining us. He's getting ready for the NFL draft. So then all of a sudden, now it's all different, right? Now it's business. Oh, yeah. Now it's business. What have the last few weeks been like for you as you get ready for the draft? And what are the types of things you're working on right now? What's the new process?
Oh, man. I've been going through this process since December 8th. I've been out here training since December 10th. So it's been a very long process for me. I got to jump on everybody else. But it's like a two-a-day. You know, you come in the morning, you work out. You work out probably on the field, and then in the afternoon, you know, you're in the weight room getting it in. And then throughout the week, you know, you have different exercises that you go through, like yoga and rehabbing and just every little thing that comes with it. And it's just a grind. You know, every day is a grind.
Dude, yoga, there's kind of a misconception. Yoga's hard, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's very hard.
It's hard. So Is it hard? Is it hard mentally or is it hard physically? What's it do for you?
It does a lot for the body. I feel like at first, you know, it was tough for me because I had never really did it that much. We did it a little bit at Florida State, but it's helping me out a lot. You know, it calms the body down and it really gets the body loose and you recover faster. So I feel like it's playing a good part in this process.
Right, so I mentioned Jalen Ramsey. This guy's 2 years in and maybe already is the best corner in the NFL. He's been unbelievable. And I know he's been helpful to you in your process. The two of you talk regularly. What are the types of things that you talk about and what kind of advice has he given you?
Ever since my freshman year, just thinking back when I first got to Florida State in 2015, he's always been there, open arms. You know, he could have easily, you know, said, well, I don't care about this freshman coming in. But he always been supportive through everything. And anytime I ever needed any advice, you know, he helped me watch film as, you know, as a freshman. And now to this day, you know, I could call him and we talk all the time. Just going through this process that you're entering, like you say, entering the business aspect of the game. And, you know, it's all on you, what you can provide and what you can bring to the table. So, like I said, he's just helping me get through this process.
You know, I heard you say something about him the other day that, like, when he goes on the field, he's got no friends. Oh, and you okay. said, this dude's a dog. This dude's a dog every single day. I love the line. What do you mean by that?
Man, I mean like, you guys might be on the same team, but if you're on the other side of the ball, he's not letting you catch a pass. He's not letting you get open. And he's gonna have that mentality that you may be on his team, but you're his opponent at that moment. So. And he's going to try to win every rep in practice, not just in the game. He comes to practice every day. And I learned a lot from just seeing that and just being around that
like
coach.
Dude's relentless. Oh, like, yeah, really? Never takes a play off, never takes a rep off, never takes anything off, right?
Through the whistle. I mean, he's going. You may hit a whistle, but he's probably still going. So, you know, that's that dog mentality.
All right, so now you're getting ready. I know guys that you've listed as role models at safety. Sean Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Berry. Earl Thomas, you know, given your size, given your athleticism, given your speed, this makes sense. How about Sean Taylor? I mean, you're a pretty young guy to know about Sean Taylor. Sean Taylor is just one of those guys, man, I don't care where you played or where you did it. Yeah. Everybody really, really admired Sean Taylor. What is it to you that made him so special?
It was just the way he approached the game, his passion for the game. I mean, Sean can do it all. Sean can play deep, man. Sean can come up and hit you. And when he hits you, you know, everybody feel it. You feel it in the stands. So, you know, he's just a great player, and he did it on every level. And like I say, one of my all-time favorite safeties. I feel like he's one of the best safeties to ever do it. So.
No doubt. What about Earl Thomas? What do you like about him?
Oh, he's a much smaller guy, but like I say, his passion for the game also, and his just relentless effort every play. You know, he's going to throw his whole body into you. You know, he's a student of the game. If you look at it, how he gets in and out of his breaks and just speed turning, playing the high, the post, and different things. So that's why I say Earl Thomas is a great safety.
Okay, what about Eric Berry?
Do it all safety. Very, very multiple safety. He can come up, cover tight ends, get in the box. Sometimes I see him filling the A-gap. He's playing deep. He does it all safety too, so.
All right, so what about the combine? You know, you already know the combine is like the biggest job interview ever. Guys are measured at the combine. What is your strategy? Do you fully participate in the combine, and how are you approaching it?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing everything. I feel like I got great trainers and great people that's been around me and that's prepared me for whatever may come in front of me. So I feel like I'll be well prepared and I'll be ready for whatever comes.
We're talking to Derwin James in studio for a few more moments. I saw draft analyst Matt Miller. He recently tweeted, Derwin James' end-of-year tape is top 10 grade-worthy. Dude started hurting offenses. So are you looking for this stuff? I mean, do you go to your phone and say, what are they saying? Am I looking for some motivation and fuel? Or are you just trying to ignore the whole thing and lock in on your process?
I'm just locking in on my process. You know, I see a lot of it. Of course, I got family and friends, you know. They see it and, you know, they send it to my phone. And, you know, I see it a lot. But I try to just, you know, stay focused on what I need to be focused on And I feel like if I come out and do what I need to do, everything else will take care of itself.
What do you tell your family? I mean, I think anybody in your position, you have to manage the family because they take it personally. Yeah. They don't like it. Hey, you see this. And you might be like, some people run on that fuel, but other people don't want to hear it. So what do you tell your friends and family about all that stuff?
I mean, my grandma, she calls me almost every week. Oh, I see you going to this team. So it's like, I have to tell her, you know, grandma, nobody know where I'm going. So I just got to continue to work hard and just continue to get through this process. And, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Dude, I have to think you want to know where you're going to live, where you're going to work, what kind of system you're going to be in. These are things that you can't control. But do you have an idea? You're saying nobody knows. Do you have an idea where you might go?
No, I don't. Wherever I end up, you know, it's going to be a blessing and an opportunity that I'm looking forward to. You know, as a kid, you know, I didn't care what team I went to. So as a kid, I said, I just want to play in the NFL, and that goal is
totally different, right? I mean, as a kid, you knew exactly what college you were going to go to because you decided early on. Yeah. You can't do that now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just soaking it all in, and like I said, whatever happens, happens.
All right, so it's going to happen. Knowing everything you've put into this, knowing all the sacrifices that your family has made for you to be in this position, do you have any idea how it's going to feel when you get your name called on draft night and you finally are a member of an NFL team?
Oh, man. I just feel like everything I ever worked for and everything my family has put me through and kept me on track, I feel like all of it's going to be paid off, and I feel like it's going to be an amazing feeling that night.
Let me ask you one last thing. I mean, there's definitely a family and a fraternity at Florida State, and especially on the defense and especially in the secondary, and we know this. I mean, do you feel a strong sense of, like, brotherhood and family among guys who played in that secondary before you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Guys like Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Rose, Patrick Robinson, a lot of guys that Ronald Darby, those guys doing it on the next level, and you see they're still making plays. I mean, a lot of schools say they're DBU, but I feel like Florida State, we got the brotherhood, and we show it on the field on Saturdays and Sundays.
Another reason I asked the question, all right? Now, look, I'm old enough to be like your granddad, so I'm going to go old school with you. One of my favorite guys on the way up, we came up together, was my man Terrell Buckley.
Oh, man.
Do you
T-Buck.
Know T-Buck?
Oh, yeah, T-Buck, man.
Tell me about T-Buck.
Oh, T-Buck, amazing player, man. He ball hawk guy, gets the ball. No matter if you throw it in his way, he's taking it the other way. So T-Buck, man. He's a great player.
Dude, I'm so glad you said that. I'm glad that he still resonates within that family and you know about him. That somebody, dude, you're going to go in the first round and you're going to have a really, really nice NFL career. I'm so glad you didn't shake me off like, yeah, I think I heard of that old guy. Because my man went up and got the ball and he was fearless, dude. Yeah. Fearless.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Him and Deion, those guys like that.
Deion, too. Oh, yeah. But I had something in my heart for T-Buck, though. Man, I loved him coming up. That was not a big guy, but he was an athlete now and not afraid.
Yeah.
Durbin, you killed it, man. Great job. Nice to see you here in studio. I know you're in L.A. getting your work in. So thanks for taking time between the two days to come in here and sit in the studio. Really good to have you on the show, and good luck with the draft.
All right. Thank you for having me, man.
Well done. Very well done. Florida State represented very well. He was a first-team All-ACC-er, freshman All-American, and he is a projected first-round pick and a high first-round pick at that. We'll take a short time out. We will come right back. Got a sports update for you. In fact, I've got that for you right now. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. The week that was coming up in a minute. The ATP coming up in a minute. Quickly, Derwin James getting a lot of good response. A lot of positive feedback. At ZSpray55 tweets, I am not an FSU fan, but I'm definitely a Derwin James fan. Dude came through like a boss. He did too. I mean, we know the way he shows up on the field, but for him to come in a studio like this, he and I have never met before. You know, like, for these young guys, a lot of these guys, like, hey, yeah, I saw you. I grew up watching you, and I can see it when they walk in here. This guy owned the room from the second he came in. I mean, such a good guy. Really comfortable, very happy, very positive, very confident. Enjoyed the process. I mean, all the things you look for in a young player. He came off really, really well, and then you watch him on tape, and he's a beast. This guy is a beast. Big, strong, physical, athletic. I mean, this is exactly what you're looking for right now in today's NFL game. Dem Boys tweets, Derwin James to the Cowboys. Trade up for him. That would be a perfect spot for him. And if I'm Dallas, and believe me, can I tell you, Dallas knows all about him. If I were Dallas, I'd be looking to get him. If I were the LA Chargers, I would be looking to get him. Dallas especially. Trust me, that guy would look amazing with a star on the side of his helmet. And they need him, too, in that secondary. Time now for the ATP, where I answer your question. Also brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Let's see. Matt in Poland Springs. Dude, why are you always in my face? I can't shake this guy. He's always somewhere. Twitter, email, ATP. Rome, going to Vegas next week with the female for the first time. Where are your favorite places to go and anything a first-timer should know beforehand? My man, have you never been to Vegas? That's awesome. Now, that is the epitome of we all remember our first time in Vegas. Man, I think the first time I went to Vegas, I was in college. It was amazing. It was mind-blowing. Nothing ever lives up to the hype. That smashed the hype. Vegas was incredible. I don't go as much as I used to, Matt. The honest answer is I used to go 3 or 4 times a year. I'd go a couple of times with Janet, a couple of times with the fellas. I don't go that often now, maybe once a year if that, but I'll tell you the first place I'd go. If I were to go to Vegas this weekend, the first place I would go, like off the airplane to the hotel right here. Javier's, baby. Javier's, you know it. Of course, that's the first place I would go if I were in Irvine. And that's the first place I would go if I were in Crystal Cove. And that's the first place I would go if I were in L.A. Javier's. And you go there and you tell them Vance Smack sent you. Go to Javier's. When I first went to Vegas back in the day, and all the old people listening who know Vegas will respect this, I went to the D.I., the Desert Inn. Love that spot. Old school. That was so great. I'm a big Caesars guy. I love Caesars Palace. Old school also. Done the Bellagio. Done Mandalay. Done the Wynn for sure. Wynn's really nice. You almost can't go wrong, Matt. You almost cannot go wrong in Vegas. Go to Javier's, though. Definitely go to Javier's. Time now for the week that was. Albie, it's a 4-day work week, but I know you'll make it sound like I grinded out 5 days. Let it roll, Albie. Welcome to the jungle, a tremendous Tuesday to you. What's up? Great to be back. Hope you had a good weekend. I know I did. I hope you did as well. Sorry I took yesterday, but if I don't use it, I lose it.
You lose.
So I had to do it. First things first, believe it or not, I'm starting with the Olympics. America, meet Chloe Kim.
Yeah! Chloe Kim, gold in 2018.
Twitter.
When I finished my breakfast sandwich, my stubborn self decided not to, and now I'm getting hangry.
If I don't eat breakfast, I'm
as a 4-year-old, she learned to board at Mountain High here in SoCal.
It's incredible.
I am still the idol maker. We are compiling a database of the best callers.
Take that for data.
Picks. If you call the show and you have any kind of game whatsoever, people will know about
it. What is happening in my fiance?
More now than ever. You should step your game up.
I got major league picks for the millions watching.
Joined right now by John Smoltz.
Every player knows we should have won multiple championships. It was on us. We didn't get it done. When we look back, we realize no one in the history of the game will ever do what we did. But we definitely knew we should have won more championships.
He goes, are you the Hawk? I recognize you from your cat tattoo.
No.
Colgate, great toothpaste, terrible closers.
Hey-o!
But Donald Foyle ain't walking through that door. Gave myself a little tongue. Damian Lillard is my guest.
I'm not going to the studio during the season and writing a bunch of music and listening to beats and being up late and all that. So I'm able to function at a high level as an athlete. First things come first, but you know, also having that balance of doing other things that I like to
Episode
do.
24, Molly Bloom.
Life gets at one point, like whether it's a divorce or you get sick or you get arrested by the Fed, whatever it is. Because I've created such a giant mess and found my way out of it, I have some solution around that.
100%. Molly Bloom.
He's won it. Gold for Sean White.
Most amazing male snowboarder ever, without question. Let's just pump the brakes on all this redemption talk.
You're here to talk about the Olympics, not, you know, gossip.
Athletic accomplishment, sure. Personal redemption, not so much. From South Korea, it's Martin Rogers, figure skater Adam Rippon. I really like my slutty costumes.
Jim, I love the way you do research, mate. You've dug that one out. Yep. Adam Rippon is an absolute superstar.
Twitter.
Yes, I saw the photos over the weekend. with Dane Cook. No, I'm not talking about it. Alvin, can you not hear me talking to you over the fat alarm?
Miscommunication. Got it. Okay.
You got that now, Alvin? Thank you very much. Denzel Perryman in studio.
You know what you're getting into when you go to Miami. You know, it's all about carrying that legacy. You know, especially being a linebacker and wearing number 52. You know, Ray Lewis came to talk to us. Pulled him to the side. You know, he asked me what number I was wearing. I was like, you know, 52. He was like, no, I'm going to be watching you.
Your tour stop to Detroit, you brought up Ernie Harwell and the crowd chanted Ernie for 5 minutes straight. What a class move you did there, man. What a great time.
My man, Tony, nice job.
It doesn't seem to matter to government that children are being...
I've done a lot of soul searching, trying to figure out what I can do. Something has to be done. This is not normal, and we're allowing it to become normal.
I don't think this is going to stop. And trust me, Jimmy, it's a sad day in America.
Lee Jenkins from Sports Illustrated.
Well, Lou just asked to buy the guy a burger. Only somebody with the magic of Lou Williams could pull that off. The guy just dropped his gun, and Lou walked him over to the McDonald's and bought him dinner.
Rondo. He's still not over it. Bringing up the tribute video. That has got to be the weirdest smack talk ever. And as always, weird is good.
Let's get weird.
Never change, Rondo.
7-foot-tall high school girl.
Joel Sherman joining us.
1 year Joe Charbonneau phenomenon.
Do you remember that whole thing? This guy could open up a beer bottle with his eye.
I unfortunately remember it because I was the genius who tried.
Asking the car salesman if you can drive by your exes on the test drive. Terrifying phrase than rupture junk. I'm going to say this right into the microphone. I'm wearing a cup to work now after reading that story.
Oh, hell no.
I will sleep with a cup after hearing that story.
Losing his luggage.
Live from Southern California.
Oh, yeah. What's cracking, clones? Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome, live in Southern California.
Dry humping, guys, is something
that
I
down on a piece of paper. Time and place. Know your room. That one's free. The next one won't be. Devin Powell is my guest.
And as he tried to pop his leg up and cut it to the side, his knee went straight down and just sandwiched my testicle against my pubic bone, and it exploded it. I could be negative about it, and like, why did this happen to me? But no, I'm talking to Jim Rome right now. It's pretty cool.
It was something about the horse. Man, just carrying the spear on fire and just planting in the...
Kick Rock. Rolex Submarine.
Stop tweeting about Lyle and Eric Menendez.
I play awful.
Danish Cook.
Well, you go to Red Lobster.
And Red Lobster. Gacked out.
Gacked out.
Thanks so much, Jim. I love coming
baggy out. Baggy shirt like Brian Windhorst wears in the pool.
Rolling eye, little nitwit.
Time shine.
When I used to hang out with Abraham Lincoln.
You're embarrassing.
That I was what?
Chasing balls.
You're on, dude.
T-Buck, man.
Fantastic.
Good night now.
T-Buck, man. I love that. T-Buck, man. Good job, Alvin. Way to make 4 days sound like five. Maybe we can Jedi mind trick in everybody. Can you make three sound like five? And maybe I can come in here for three and work five and get paid for five. Come on, Alvin, you can do it. Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance. Practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com. We are done. My thanks to the XR4TI, all of our guests, you clones. I am in on Monday. We are working Monday. I'm not taking that three-day weekend. So I'm here on Monday. I'm fired up about that. I will see you then. Have an amazing weekend. Thank you for listening to CBS Sports Radio and watching on CBS Sports Network. See you next time.